A couple weeks ago, we began a new series of lessons that we're calling Thrive Spiritually, and we're thinking about how we grow in our relationship with Christ, how that relationship guides our lives, and how we participate in what God is doing in the world because we are growing in that relationship. And we talked about two things that seem to obviously fit that pattern of thriving spiritually. We began 2 weeks ago talking about prayer, and then last Sunday, I talked about reading God's Word and how allowing God's Word to shape us helps us to thrive spiritually. Now, if we're thinking about growing in our relationship with God, those are sort of the two obvious answers, right? That's the Sunday school answer to most every question: read the Bible and pray. And so that makes sense, but we have a couple of weeks left in this series, so what else can we do that will help us thrive spiritually? And that's what I want us to think about today. And maybe these answers aren't as obvious. Maybe they're not the ones that would come to us as quickly, but I think they are really important. So we're going to begin with one of those today. And to get us there, I want us to think about I bet most of us have said this statement somewhere along the way, okay? It's this: if you want to do something right, if you want something done right, do it yourself, right? You felt that before. Like, you were so busy, you had to pass some duty off to someone else, and you did, and they forgot. Like, they didn't do it at all, or they didn't prepare, or they just didn't do it right. And you think, man, next time, I'm just going to do it myself, because then I can be sure that it's going to be done right. Now, we Americans sort of thrive on individuality, right? We have that cowboy mentality of I'm out there on my own and I'm going to get things done by myself, and Frank Sinatra, we're going to do it my way, and all that stuff. And that's sort of part of our culture's DNA, if you will. And it bleeds over into our individual lives that we sometimes think if I'm going to do something and get it done right, I might as well just do it myself. It'll be easier than trying to teach someone to do it. Of course, that leaves them without a blessing, right? Because they don't learn. But it also allows us to control the outcome. Because if I do it, then I'm going to do it the way I want it done, and I'm going to be sure it's done, and I am in control. When we allow others to do the work, we lose an amount of control. And that can be really uncomfortable. Now, how does that relate to our spiritual lives? How does that relate to thriving spiritually? Well, you know, sometimes we might think that if there is one thing in all of life that is my responsibility, that is up to me, it's my relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And we do have real responsibility in that, right? I mean, nobody else is going to face any kind of judgment ever for my actions other than me. I mean, it really is up to me. God has done so much work already. He sent His Son to die on a cross for my sins. He's offered me a relationship with Him in this life and eternal life, and I have to decide, how am I going to respond to that incredible offer of grace, forgiveness, and eternal life? I've got to decide how I respond to that. So I've got responsibility. Every single one of us has responsibility in this area. But what I want us to think about today is whether we're alone in that part of our lives, and whether we should isolate ourselves in that part of our lives. And to get at that, I want us to turn to several different passages that we find in Scripture. Now, as we think about this, we know that, you know, we were created as individuals, right? We have separate physical bodies, and the truth is that I can only sort of perceive the world around me and perceive God Himself through the lens that is my life, my experience, my makeup, my DNA, all those things that make me me, sort of my soul, that's who I am. I have to perceive all this through that lens. I cannot see life through the lens that you have. So in some ways, yes, we are created as individuals, we have responsibility to God, but what we know about the creation story is that it didn't take long after the creation of the man, Adam, that God was talking about someone to go with the man, right? And God created Eve, and then they have a family. Man did not live alone for very long. And so even in the creation story itself, we see that that God saw the need for us to have people around us. And I think that theme travels all the way through Scripture. One of the great places that we might look is in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 27, verse 17, we see this very dynamic at work. And remember, the Proverbs talk about the way life works. They're principles that we can live by. And this is what it says. You probably heard this one. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Somehow, even as individuals, clearly seeing the world through our own lens, we have an effect on each other. And even though two pieces of iron are made of the same substance, the writer of Proverbs says they have a positive effect on each other. And just as we are of the same substance, spiritually, physically, emotionally, if you will, we can have a positive effect on each other. We can benefit each other. We can make each other better. Now, I think the writer of Proverbs is talking about all of life, right? I mean, more than just what we might call our spiritual life or church life or however you want to phrase that. But man, I think this passage applies to our spiritual lives, that we can have a positive effect on each other. So yes, I have responsibility for my spiritual health, but I'm not alone in developing my spiritual health. There are people around me. And there's all kinds of ways that we can impact each other as we think about iron sharpening iron. We might think about something as simple as a Bible study. And here's the thing. It might be that as you think about Bible study, you think, well, that's a really good thing because we are called to study the Bible by ourselves. We talked about that plenty on last Sunday. And how we need to read the Bible and grow in our knowledge of Scripture, but we need each other too. Because there are questions that I have, questions that you have, that it really does us good to talk about them together and maybe talk with someone who has studied the text in detail and knows something about it so that that person can speak into your life. But it might be that today you're thinking, I could go into a Bible study and man, I would really learn a lot from someone who knew something about the Bible because I'm sort of at the beginning of this journey, or I just really don't know that much. But you're thinking, I don't know what I would have to offer anyone else. I mean, you hear me saying that Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So maybe you're thinking, I don't really have anything to bring to the table. I don't have any knowledge. I don't have years of study. So what can I bring to the table to help anybody else? Here's what I know. Even the person who is at the beginning of the journey, who feels like they don't know that much, if they are willing to, in a group of people studying Scripture, some kind of Bible study, to ask a question, that person who asks the question can have a powerful impact on the study of Scripture. Because so often when someone in a group asks a question, there are other people in the group who are wondering the same thing, but they're afraid to ask. So that person who is bold enough to voice the question can often speak for the whole group. And a good question asked at the right moment can offer the opportunity for everyone to learn in the discussion. So even if you're still trying to figure this whole thing out and you're asking questions and maybe you're even wondering about faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have that all figured out yet. That's okay. If you're joining others in Bible study and you're asking questions, you're like iron sharpening iron. You have something to offer. But this isn't just about sitting in a group studying the Bible. It's also about living Christian character out and helping one another and standing with one another when life is difficult and growing together because we're doing this together. Whether it's Bible study or character or living life, we sharpen one another. We might also turn over to Ecclesiastes just a few pages later. This is a great passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 that talks about the power of people being together and working together. And this is just a piece of it. It says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Two are better than one. They get a return on their labor. You know, most of us have been involved in some kind of task. Maybe it's a physical task, or maybe it's something else, but either way, there's some heavy lifting to do. Maybe there's literally something heavy to move, and you can't do it by yourself. You got to have someone with you. Or maybe there's something emotionally heavy that you really just don't know if you can face on your own, and you need someone with you. Ecclesiastes here is another passage that speaks, I think, to all of life, but speaks into our spiritual lives as well. That at times in our spiritual lives, there is some heavy lifting. There's some difficult things to understand in Scripture, and we need each other. We have a better return on our labor, on our work, on our study, on our growth, when we do it together. We need each other. And then he says, you know, it's good because sometimes you're going to fall down. I mean, sometimes life deals us some stuff that we would rather not face, and we just don't really know what to do with. And the writer of Ecclesiastes is telling us it is so much better when someone is there to pick us up and pity us when there isn't, because it gets really hard then. That's two Old Testament passages, but the New Testament talks about this too. Paul does in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and actually what we see is a phrase that shows up twice in the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul's letter to this early church, and he says, encourage one another with these words in both of these passages. So Paul recognized the need for Christians to encourage one another, but one of them comes in a context of a passage that we read a lot of times at funerals or in cemeteries. And it reads like this: For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. And then he concludes with those words, therefore, encourage one another with these words. In this context, Paul is saying, listen, you're going to face some difficult things as followers of Jesus. In fact, sometimes you're going to face difficult things because you are followers of Jesus. God doesn't eliminate all the hard stuff because you're a Christian. But he's saying, what I want you to remember is when it gets really bad, that you can have confidence that there is something more. That we as Christians are both future and hope-oriented people. That the Lord is not done. When we face death, when we even think about the end of all things, God is not finished. And then he concludes that with a challenge to encourage one another with that. And I think this goes back to just what we're talking about today, sharing in the heavy lifting of life. Because there are times when we need someone to come to us and say, hey, listen, God's still at work. I know you're going through something, and I know it's difficult, and I know it feels like you've been knocked down, but what I'm here to tell you is God has not forgotten you. Encourage one another with these words. So we think about those passages, and we can look at others. What does it teach us about thriving spiritually? And I think it's this: we grow best when we grow together. We see this at work in the life of the early church. I mean, we see Acts chapter 2, the very beginning of the life of the church. I mean, the church has just started, and what do they do? What do we find at the end of Acts chapter 2? They're meeting together every day. Not just 1 hour a week, they're meeting together every day. Why? Because they knew they needed one another. They recognized from the very start of this movement of followers of Jesus that it was not designed to be lived in isolation. Do I have personal responsibility for my relationship with Jesus Christ? Absolutely. But am I required to do all this by myself? Definitely not. We are called to do this together. And so when we are on this journey of thriving spiritually, a journey that really lasts through this whole life, we're called to do it together. Now, how do we put that to work practically? Well, I think there's some things that we can remind ourselves of that will help us with that. And the first is to give people a chance. Now, here's what I know. Churches are made of people, and we are all imperfect. And chances are, for many of us, especially those who have been followers of Jesus for decades, big chunks of our lives, we can look back on our church life and say, you know what, there was a time when I really got hurt by someone in church. When I was wounded because I opened myself up to others and chose to live this life that you're talking about, preacher, of doing things together, and man, I was wounded. And it's easy when we go through that to say, I'm not letting that happen again. I'm not putting myself out there to allow that kind of hurt ever again. Because we don't want to go through it again. But we have to go back and remind ourselves that God knew that the church wasn't perfect. From the very beginning, we see problems in the book of Acts that are going on in the life of the church. But even then, this Christian life, this walk with Jesus, was not designed to be done in isolation. And so let me encourage you. Even if you've been walking that journey and somewhere along the way, the journey got more difficult because a fellow believer in Christ messed it up, give it another chance. And I'd like to promise you that that will never happen again. You'll never be hurt in church again, but those promises aren't real. Because again, we're not perfect. But the benefit of sharing the Christian life is so important. The need for iron to sharpen iron, the need to have someone standing there when we fall to help us back up, the need for us to encourage one another with the words of Scripture, whether those are the words that we read from 1 Thessalonians 4 or words that we find somewhere else in Scripture. The need for that is present wherever we are in life. So let me encourage you, give some folks a chance to get close. And then second, open yourself up to growing with others. Now that might mean a Bible study. And lots of you are involved in different Bible studies. We have a couple of groups, men and women, that meet on Monday morning. We have a new Bible study that begins next Monday night for our women. I think there's almost 50 women from our church that are signed up for that. So I think that's awesome to see that kind of number. Our men's breakfast has been going really well. We have the opportunity to come together, get to know some other guys, hear the stories of... Sometimes we go to church with people for years, and we don't even know their story. And it's been really good for some guys that are in our church and then some guys from the community to hear the story of how they became Christians, how they're living out their faith, who they learn from. And we're growing together because of that. So find some way. Get involved in one of those things so that you have some iron to sharpen iron, so that you have some people to encourage you with the words of Scripture, so that you're there walking together on this journey. Give that a chance. And then finally, be prepared to give and receive. Depending on where you are in that journey, you might see yourself on one of those extremes or the other. Like, you're usually the leader, you're usually the one sort of sharing the message, and you don't know how much you have to learn from others. I would encourage you to listen. I would encourage you to listen to the questions that people ask and the comments they make about how challenging the life of following Jesus can be, because those things may sharpen you. Or if you're new on the journey and you're thinking, I don't have anything to offer, listen, you do. Whether it's why you even got on this journey, that's a big part of your story, that's something to offer. Whether it's the questions we talked about earlier, that's something to offer. You have something to offer, and there's someone who needs it. So give that a chance, to give and receive. What I know is, as followers of Jesus, as the church, we grow best when we grow together. So find some people to grow with. Let's pray together. God, we want to thrive with you. We want thriving spiritually to be part of our whole lives. So God, we ask that you would guide us in that. Help us see the opportunities. Help us to see what we have to contribute and what we need to receive. And God, help us all to grow together. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you are on that journey and you're figuring out the next step, so we invite you to let us know. If you've come to the point you want to put your faith in Christ, repent of your sins, and be baptized into Him, we will walk with you on that journey hand in hand. Just let us know. Come forward as we stand and sing our invitation. Let's stand together.